Thank you, as always, to Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon and Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa for their presenting sponsorship of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. The red carpet sales event continues at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Walk the red carpet for huge savings from General Manager Brian Danahy. Get a 2018 XT5 for only $359 a month, zero down, plus save up to $16,000 off all remaining 2017s or 0% financing for up to 72 months. Only at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Click EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com and, of course, see the dealer for all the details. And in Brandon, our friends at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, you can save now on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. And, of course, there are fantastic lease offers right there at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon on Causeway Boulevard. Thank you again, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Thursday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Ira, it is so great to see you. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. The great Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. Your podcast is firing, of course, twice per week, year-round, nonstop. Sage, we just heard Ed Morris rolling out the red carpet all month long. Those great offers keep on flowing. And, of course, we're rolling out the red carpet for you as we sit here in our option number two spot here at Panera.
Gorgeous weather. It ain't minus two like it was when I touched down in dreaded Minneapolis.
So that's why you're in shorts and T-shirt attire.
Shorts and T-shirt. It's 5 days later. I'm still pissed off about that meeting. I'm still pissed off. Might take me another 5 months.
What about the Pakistani women you talked about?
What's that?
The middle seat.
Oh, I'm not over her either. I hope she's listening to this podcast. Screw you, lady.
All right, Ira. Calm down. Calm down. We got plenty of Bucks stuff on the table, and it's good to be here.
We're still bitter.
And we're all here in shorts, which is always a good thing. All right, Sage. Now, there's so many directions we can go, but I know this affects a good handful of our readers and listeners. Not a big percentage, but enough, and it's interesting. The Buccaneers... And the details are not that important, Ira, but the bottom line is the Buccaneers have raised ticket prices for a chunk of season ticket holders off of 5-11. What do you make of this?
Some of the raises are substantial, depending on what section you're in. They are substantial. You know, for years, what have we heard from Buck management? Our ticket prices are among the lowest in the National Football League, and we've remained stagnant, so it's time to bump them up. Well, Lee, can you really make that argument after three straight years of boosting ticket prices with very little to show on the scoreboard? You know, you can raise all the ticket prices you want if you're a Patriots fan. Now, Philadelphia, you want to raise prices? Go ahead. You know, people are going to be swarming, knocking down the turnstiles to get into Lincoln Financial. Not so at Raymond James, which is a great venue and has aged very, very well. Got nothing to do with the venue. It's got to do with the football team. Win some damn football games. The timing is curious, to say the least. Lee, usually we're used to these things with a little announcement Friday night at about 7 o'clock at night. You know, where you go into the weekend, nobody's talking about it. It gets no blip on Pro Football Talk, nothing. guys, now we don't even have an announcement. You know, what we got are some disgruntled Buck fans, season ticket holders, who have leaked this information. Not leaked it, but passed it on to Joe Buck's fan. Greg Allman, God bless him, you know, with a couple of emails. The Bucks aren't denying it, so there's no reason to think that people are making this stuff up. It happened.
Yeah, they're forwarding emails.
Guys, they're not the only team in the NFL that's going to bump ticket prices going into the 2018 season. But they're one of the few 5-11 teams that are going to be doing it, I dare say. So another shot across the bow to these long-suffering Buck fans. This is a tough one. It's tough to sell new season tickets when you're going to, you know, make it less affordable to do so. Mm-hmm. So, look, the Bucks don't take this lightly. There's been some thought going into it. But for our listeners, for Bucks season ticket holders, it's another kick in the gut, Lee.
I'm going to talk about tickets in a second, but something that is very popular and something that fans enjoy. You, Ira Kaufman.
How did I become the focus of this?
I checked out, once again, Google Play. You're still right around top 35 podcast. Over all genres, all subjects, all podcasts, you're one of the top heavy hitters. And might I add, yesterday on iTunes, for the first time in forever, I read the comments.
You're reading comments, DeKemper?
Yeah, I'm reading.
You must have had a slow news day,
well,
my friend.
Well, yeah, I want to keep the pulse of the people, and during the NFL season, I'm so busy, I don't get a chance. But the comments on your podcast on iTunes, three people I want to mention in particular. The OKC boys were commenting about how much they love you. Mike Weber, a producer for Channel 10, has always been a longtime, big-time supporter of Joe Buck's fan. He commented how much he loved it. And this is going to make your day, Mr. Kaufman. Somebody, I don't remember the handle, he's from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Up until about 4 years ago, never heard of you. Had no idea you existed. He's a big Chris Russo fan. Heard you on Russo. This guy's great. Is not a Bucks fan in any way, shape, or form. Listens to you religiously. Why? Because of you, Ira Kaufman.
And that probably means he's going to be listening to the podcast.
Yes. That shows you how popular you are. Not only are you popular nationwide on Google Play, you're the pride of Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Thank you, Mr. DeKemper. Of course, Isbits, that begs the question, why aren't I on Sirius Radio year-round?
It's not a bigger question.
It's not a question that you guys can answer, but it's a legitimate question.
I thought you were going to ask him for a raise.
Not yet.
But
not
to the tickets, to the tickets. I got to be fair and open-minded and objective about this. First off, I'm just going to say, if I was a season ticket holder and I saw that the Bucks retained every member of one of the worst defenses this franchise has ever seen, and basically said, you know what, you guys are earning your money, and you ask me to help pay for them with a raise?
You mean the staff. The staff, right?
Defensive staff. I'm a Dirk Cutter supporter. I love Mike Smith, but I got to go by results. I got to be honest. I ripped Lovie Smith for being terrible. Mike Smith's defenses are worse.
And you don't like the way they develop defensive players, young defensive players.
They haven't developed. Not the way they have. They haven't. Yes, and the cornerbacks in particular.
So with that as a background, what's your reaction to raising ticket prices?
That's an insult. The Bucks are correct in that if you look at other ticket prices around the NFL, the Bucks are very reasonable. The Bucks stood firm, as Steve said, for 6 years until recently they've upped some. I got to emphasize some. Not everybody's getting their ticket prices. Some, lower bowl specifically.
They held firm for a long time.
Yeah, and to their credit. And also, look at the economy's booming. Have you checked out real estate prices around this area? Through the ceiling. So I don't blame the Bucks for raising ticket prices. My problem is, and it's more of a PR issue, you're basically asking season ticket holders to support a pathetic defense. You couldn't even find one assistant on that you could replace to make your team better. When the Steelers got rid of their offensive coordinator, when Tennessee, a team that beat your Chiefs on the road, I hate to say it, Ira, they got rid of their head coach
Those are two playoff teams.
Thank you. And they saw fit like, you know, this isn't good enough. But apparently with the Bucks, one of the worst defenses in franchise history. Good job, guys. Good job. You're going to stick around. Way to go.
Oh, by the way,
season ticket holder, we're jacking your prices up a couple hundred dollars because we love this defense so much. I find that insulting.
Steve,
I'm sorry.
The timing is curious. The timing. Yeah, what are you going to do? 5-11.
On the tickets, it's a couple interesting layers. One, I think I'm curious to ask Lee, and I'll let him even think about it for a while. You've said that the Bucks don't really care about ticket revenue. Well, here they are raising prices when they could be lowering them. If they didn't care about revenue, they could be papering.
Theoretically, it's all about TV revenue.
Theoretically. So it's a little bit odd to see the ticket price increase on such a bad season when, realistically, if they wanted more butts in the seat, they could drop ticket prices and sort of paper the house a little bit and get some more enthusiasm.
That would get more Buck fans in the building.
Yeah. In theory. I'm not by
in
that.
Theory.
Because I'm a big believer that the way America is going, not just the Bucks, not just the NFL, sports in general, more and more people are preferring to stay at home. That's just the wave. And changing ticket prices by a couple hundred dollars isn't going to be that much of a difference either way.
Lee, even TV viewership's down. You know, it's a problem.
It's down, but it's still pretty high. The Super Bowl was down, 10%? But yet it's the 10th most watched program all season.
Lee, so a lot of it, Steve, is because there's so many different ways
part of it
to access the action.
Well,
that's part of it.
Forget about that. It's just an interesting decision, and I'm just trying to project where the organization's head is at. Why would you want to upset fans like this? I'm doing it on a weird year, but you know what? I guess you could say maybe the organization says, hey, they're already all pissed off at us. They all can't believe what we've done. We didn't even change the staff. Let's just pile on. You know, why have.
Guys, the real question is, what impact, if any, will this have on attendance in 2018?
Minimal.
Okay.
I'd say maybe at most 2,000 a game, at most.
Oh, I don't know.
What if somebody's on the fence about buying season tickets?
Well, and you're always going to have that. I've talked to people who own season tickets. They swore on a stack of Bibles to my face. If the Bucks got rid of Cutter, they were done. So you're always going to have people disgruntled for whatever.
If you're a diehard Buck fan, you're going to get your season tickets. Well, what about the casual Buck
fan? You can be a diehard fan and just buy tickets to five games a year, Ira, or you can just buy them on the secondary market and do it a lot of different ways. It's just an interesting decision, and it just feels like a urination from above on these poor fans who are putting out the money. I can't imagine getting a bill that all it's like $382 more than last year.
If you pay by April 30th.
For what? You know? It's
what
a tough spot.
What about the argument that the ticket prices are still below the median league-wide? Is that legitimate? Something for management to say to counter
management can say anything they want. I don't blame them. I mean, I don't like think they're evil. It's their business. They want to try to make more money on tickets. You know, go for it. If the people want to buy it, they buy it. If not, they don't. Simply, I think the person who gets that bill, Ira, doesn't care about, well, the Bills tickets are a little bit more expensive or less.
Good point.
They just know what they see.
And Lee, ultimately, scoreboard tells the tale, right? Scoreboard.
Winning is the ultimate perfume. Everything's great. You can jack up prices 30%.
If
you're in the playoffs, okay.
Lee, we didn't see a lot of Bears fans and Steelers fans in the crowd during the Buck Glory days. Not a lot. Not nearly as much as we do
not
today.
Not as now, yeah.
Those were Buck fans.
But, of course, that's not indicative of the Bucks. I mean, when the Steelers play at Dallas, they virtually take over that stadium.
Steelers fans travel. So,
and Eagles fans will be the same way.
Lynch was telling me he was shocked to see the 49ers fans travel on the road.
Is that right?
He was shocked. He mentioned Seattle, which is famous for the 12th man.
Yeah.
Going to Los Angeles, play the Rams. Lynch was very, very pleased by 49er Nation and their willingness to travel. I didn't expect that.
Is that really a shock though in Los Angeles?
Well, but the 49ers haven't been very good, Steve. So, you know, they're a franchise to keep an eye on.
Garoppolo.
Did you ask him why he kept Snoop Dogg McPlayBook on the active roster?
Never mind that, Steve. Right. That's a podcast for another day.
All right, Ira, let's take you over to, we have some things to talk about here. You wrote your column on Wednesday. You seem very impressed by the pass rush of the Eagles, but the depth of the pass rush without all the big names and what they were able to accomplish, having a fresh body there to get a sack on the pivotal play late in the game. You know, what's the lesson for Bucks fans, or what are you smelling here as it relates to free agency, which is 5 weeks away?
Lee, let's look back at that game quickly. You want to focus on two key plays? Fine. The go-ahead touchdown to Ertz, which was a touchdown, obviously, and maybe the 4th-and-3 play that kept that drive going. And Brandon Graham stripping the ball from Brady, because let's be honest, by the time Brady got the ball less than a minute, no timeouts, that's a whole different situation. Because he had the ball with more than 2 minutes left with timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
That's
midfield.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
If you're an Eagle fan, that's a problem.
You're sweating.
So what's the lesson to be learned from Buck perspective? Well, everybody says how when you play Brady, and you can just ask Atlanta, and you can ask Jacksonville, you know, and Jacksonville had a hell of a defense. You get worn down. You get absolutely worn down. He's throwing 45 balls, 50 balls, hurry-up offenses. You know, you're gasping for air. You got nothing left by the fourth quarter. Just ask the Falcons. They didn't show up in the fourth quarter.
Or the Jags.
Now, here we go to Philly. You and I said this the other day. New England's offensive line did a tremendous job, for about three quarters. What happened in the fourth quarter? They wore down.
Yep.
They wore down.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because the Eagle defensive linemen, they're not on the field all the time.
Exactly.
They keep getting rotated on. So here we come to the Bucks. God knows, we're not talking about 7 defensive linemen. Can I have 3 or 4?
I was going to say 2.
Yeah. You know, that's what is disconcerting. You know, if you're going to try to follow the Eagles' model, which produced a 16-3 record, and yeah, Carson Wentz was great, but they had a hell of a defense.
You mean, they had a hell of a defense.
And what fueled that defense wasn't the linebacker unit. It was the front 7,
mm-hmm.
not the front 4. So, look, we're not telling Jason Lightley anything he doesn't know.
Sure.
Dirk Cutter, the Glazers, they know their football. They watched that team for 16. You know, for whatever reason, the pass rush was a hell of a lot better in 2016. A hell of a lot better. And they didn't blitz nearly as much. And that's another point. Schwartz, figuring he's going to get pressure from his front 4 all year long, he's got 7 in coverage. What do we got from the Bucks? We got extensive blitzing, and they went nowhere on the blitz.
Mm-hmm.
That's another problem. They weren't effective on the blitz, but the fact that you had to send 5 and 6 guys, you're committing too many resources. Now you got to play man defense. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. It's a ripple effect.
Sure.
You got to play man defense. Drew Brees knows that. Matt Ryan knows that. Cam Newton knows that. And you get exposed because mm-hmm. you don't have enough corners either. So it all starts up front. I'm not asking for another Warren Sapp or Simeon Rice. That's pie in the sky. But get some players. Get Vinnie Curry out there. Get those kinds
like
of guys.
Like I said, I've written this a couple times. Chris Long, okay, he's not the guy he used to be. He's still effective. He had, what, 6.5 sacks this year? Compared to what the Bucs have, it's Reggie White.
Yeah.
I mean, now I got wrote while I'm thinking of this, your green shirt is tipping me off. We were talking about the Eagles and the end of the game. Two quick things. One, I know your buddy Russo, Chris Russo, Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM, is whining Al Michaels, mailed it in.
Yeah, he is.
Did you hear Reese, what the announcer for the Eagles? Merrill Reese.
No.
Same thing. It was almost like a shock. The end of the game was like, wait a minute, game's over? It was very similar to Al Michaels. Wow. Like, wait a minute, game's over? Jim Cramer. Did you see the video of Jim Cramer, MSNBC, CNBC, you know, the great financial advisor? Sobbing at the game. You know, he's a big Eagles fan. Sobbing. Yeah!
Was he there? Was he at the end?
Yeah, someone had a video of him at the end of the game. Sobbing.
Well, he was sobbing on Monday, too, when the stock market crashed.
You took my one line. I was going to say he's sobbing because before he left for the Minneapolis, he didn't sell his Google stock. It took a dive. But I mean, sobbing.
Steve, that is the lesson for Buck fans and Buck management.
Well, Bucks fans, you know, real quick.
You can never have enough defensive linemen, gentlemen. Well, and right now, the Bucks have about two or three. Am I wrong, Steve?
Real quick, Ira. Yeah. With Jim Cramer sobbing at the end of that game, that's what Bucks fans do when they want that garbage pass rush they trot out there on the den of depression.
And Steve, that takes us right into Gerald McCoy.
Well, perhaps Cramer got his season ticket renewal notice for the Bucks. Ira, fun fact, on the Eagles roster, one of the defensive ends deep in the rotation is Mark Dominic draft pick 2013 defensive end Steven Means.
Wow.
Who
you are digging deep on that roster.
Somehow Jim Schwartz and the Eagles found him worthy of keeping on the roster. He had a sack this year, played a little bit. You know, sometimes you get rid of those defensive ends.
Kid out of Buffalo? I think he might have been out of Buffalo.
University of Buffalo.
Kid out of Buffalo.
He had a cup of coffee with the Bucks, right?
Yeah.
And Lovey Smith actually once called him, quote, the prototype defensive end for our system.
And he cut him.
But, Steve, this leads right into Gerald McCoy because, I'm sorry, Buck fans, you don't want to hear this, some of you, but instead of bemoaning the fact that the Bucks don't have enough defensive linemen, some of you want to attack the only decent guy you do have. Yeah. That's not. And, look, I went on that Ian Beckles podcast for an hour.
Yeah.
And he spent 10 minutes ripping Gerald McCoy.
Well, that's his shit.
That's his thing. But Gerald McCoy.
You're letting Steve throw you a soft fastball like the Albert Pujols or something. Here you go.
You know, he doesn't deserve the criticism.
Absolutely not.
But he's not going to be in Canton, I don't think. But, you know, the guy makes 10 Pro Bowls. You never know.
All right, Ira.
But he's the best they got up front. And that does lead me into the point you're going to make right now.
So Aaron Donald is on Pro Football Talk, the radio show, the TV show.
The newly named Defensive Player of the Year.
He's on PFT Live. He's a he's going to be an all-decade player.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
If he stays healthy and can keep going, he's had a tremendous four seasons in the league. He was NFL Defensive Player of the Year this year.
Despite holding out, I believe, at the beginning of the season.
Didn't he miss a game or two?
He missed opening day, yeah. In PFT Live, he's asked simply by former Bucks QB Chris Sims.
There we go, Chris.
He's asked, Aaron Donald, what do you do when you're breaking down film, when you're analyzing the game and studying the game? Who do you got your eye on? What are you doing? He says, Gerald McCoy, when I'm looking for pass rush moves.
The first name and the only name.
That's
first
all he
name
said.
He said McCoy.
McCoy. So that should just shut up anybody. The best guy in the game at his position, Aaron Donald.
First name out of his mouth.
When he goes to look, the first guy he's looking at is Gerald McCoy film.
He could have said Fletcher Cox. Could have.
He could have said a lot of people.
Atkins.
Could have said a lot of people. So, now that's the kind of thing, Ira, what makes it interesting to me, and it ties to our recent podcasts. You know, when you go to the Hall of Fame, you're armed with a bunch of quotes from great players.
Executives,
whatever, guys who, after the fact, pretty much after playing with a player, commented about him, like the quotes you had from Brett Favre, for example, on Lynch, or Barry Sanders, who doesn't talk much, saying John Lynch occupied a space in his head. Now, here we have this comment from Donald, a contemporary in the throes of greatness right now. They're playing together. So, you know, you mentioned that you don't think Gerald McCoy is a Hall of Famer. Well, you know what? If he gets on the ballot one day, if he makes 9 Pro Bowls and squeaks into the final 15 because of the way voting is, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. But if he gets there, that's a powerful comment.
I'll tell you what's not gonna help him, Lee. If he finishes his career and doesn't make a damn playoff game.
No, it didn't help.
And that's not fair to McCoy, but it's a fact.
Sure.
You know, exposure.
How many guys are in the Hall of Fame you think only reason because they were on a Super Bowl winning team?
A lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
I'm not denigrating them or saying they're rotten players.
It's a boost. It's a big help.
Well, you can't say it's not all McCoy's fault. I mean, it's a lot of these, he hasn't made a lot of guys around him better. I mean,
he's only one guy, Steve.
He's only one guy. But
up until this year, how many guys did Donald make better? I mean, Robert Quinn was always good.
Your point is undebatable. When Aaron Donald mentions one guy and one guy only, and it's Gerald McCoy, that's got clout. That should tell disgruntled Buck fans, you know, you're off base here. You know, go pick another guy
first,
to pick on.
First, I mean, right out of his mouth, McCoy.
Go pick on Chris Conte. Don't pick on McCoy.
Yeah, it's an interesting debate with the making guys better. But, you know, when he's played on some bad defenses, on some bad sacking teams, you know, he is an element of it. It's still an element of it, a piece of it. It would be in his favor if there were edge rushers that had a lot of success around him or played beyond their means, but nobody seems to do that.
You know, Lee, to be fair, Warren Sapp faced constant double-teaming, especially before Simeon Rice arrived. Sapp was a star before Simeon Rice ever landed in Tampa, and he faced constant double-teaming. You know, you got to make that point too, Steve. So what does that tell you? He's not Warren Sapp, McCoy. So what? You know, does that mean McCoy's not a heck of a player?
You mentioned it. One of the reasons I wrote that story because a lot of the GMC haters, you mentioned Aaron Donald's name, that triggers them. Like, oh, he's so much better than McCoy. Well, so what? That's like someone ragging on Derek Jeter because he couldn't hit like Albert Pujols. I mean, come on. That's one of the reasons I wrote the story. But, yeah, I mean, Aaron Donald, just because Aaron Donald's a one-in-a-generation player doesn't mean McCoy's
LaVonte
garbage.
LaVonte David's not Derek Brooks. Does that mean LaVonte David's
not a good player? He's not Keekly either.
I mean, you know, you got to be careful with that.
Of course. It was what a great comment from McCoy. I was happy for him. And it's so telling, you know, and he's got all these detractors out there. One thing I haven't written up for Joe Bucks fan yet, Chidi Ahanotu was on with Rock Riley on his show on 1040. Good golly, he scared McCoy in various different ways. You know, and Chidi's a very, when he's not getting into trouble, is a very smooth talking.
He's a smooth talker.
Very intelligent guy, and clearly is well versed on
the
Bucks.
He's skewering McCoy along with Beckles.
Absolutely. And what was interesting in that,
and he played the defensive line, unlike Beckles.
Yeah, and he played inside and outside. And one of the interesting things in that, and it's not related to McCoy, but one of the interesting things in that chat, Chidi mentions that he texts with Dirk Cutter. Because his kid knows Dirk Cutter's kid, and they text each other. So
wait a minute. When I text Cutter, I don't get an answer. I got to take a second fiddle to Chidi Ahanotu. Covering this ball club.
So I thought that was hilarious. You know, somebody might say, "Oh, well, he's disconnected." Well, wait a minute. He's texting with head coach.
Well, he's not trying to say that Cutter took any pot shots at McCoy.
No, I'm not implying that.
Well, I don't think your son was protecting Dirk Cutter's son on offensive line.
You're right. I lose that argument over there.
It's hardly the main reason. One of the reasons I go to the Combine, to Super Bowl week, to these NFL events, I'm determined to try to find someone in the NFL to rag on Gerald McCoy the way some fans say. You know, he's horrible, he's terrible, you need to get rid of him. And I'll never forget last year when I asked Kyle Shanahan about Gerald McCoy, and I kind of mentioned to him, like, there's a lot of Bucks fans, they can't wait to get rid of him. Shanahan looked at me like I had three eyes. Like, are you out of your mind?
Coordinator, a team that played McCoy twice a year.
He just got hired by the 49ers. He was on the podium. And I was the very first person to ask about McCoy. I said, there's a lot of Bucks fans that hate him, want to run him off. Can you tell me what difference he makes? And Shanahan looked at me like I said, I just fell out of a tree. Like, I had three eyes. Like, you know, like a little puppy, when you whistle at a little puppy, it cocks its head sideways and perks its ears?
Collinsworth didn't say anything about McCoy, did he?
No, but Rodney Harrison did. I will write that up in the coming days. Rodney Harrison, obviously, Sunday Night Football, works with Father Dungy, worships McCoy. And I'll write that up in the coming days.
Rodney Harrison knows what a good defensive player looks like.
Yeah, but anyway, I go to these NFL events. You know, these Bucks fans just can't. They think McCoy is basically Akeem Spence. NFL people are just like, what are you talking about? Alex Marvez. I remember I was talking to having beers with Alex Marvez. I mentioned to him, I said, you know, Alex, the most hated Bucks player has to be Gerald McCoy. He almost dropped his beer. He goes, why? What'd he do? And I said, I don't know. And NFL people cannot understand, and neither do I, why a certain sect of Bucks fans just can't wait to get McCoy out of town.
And Steve, if the Bucks go 5-11, here you can argue with me on this one. If the Bucks go 5-11 in 2018, people are going to turn on Jameis Winston in droves.
Yes.
Even if it's not his fault, you know I'm right about
yes.
that, Steve.
Yes.
Why? You turn on the faces. McCoy's a face. Winston's a face. That's who you focus your ire on if you're a frustrated
Bucks Bingo. Fan. Because how many people say anything negative about Lavonnie David? Lavonnie David's got a worse win-loss record than McCoy has.
Who are they going to do? A rally against J.R. Sweezy? That's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, Lavonnie David, as you know as well as I do, Ira, he's a quiet guy. He sits in the background. McCoy's out there. Jameis is out there. And like you said, they're going to go after the people that are out front. And I do this to some of these Gerald McCoy haters. It's like, well, why is Lavonnie David so special? If you're going to rag on Gerald McCoy for the Bucks losing, the Bucks have lost more with Lavonnie David than they have with McCoy.
Big contract. McCoy's got a big contract.
What, Lavonnie David's getting paid minimum wage?
I mean, David's got a big contract just like McCoy.
Yeah, look, as far as you said about Jameis and fans turning on Jameis, many fans have already turned on Jameis, and that's a combination of those who turned on him before he ever got to the Bucks. There are those who've turned on him because he hasn't progressed in his third season and made a lot of turnovers and bonehead plays. And there are those who see the record and be like, well, we can lose with somebody else. So if they lose next year, though,
some of them didn't want Winston in the first place.
Exactly.
Right.
What Steve
right. Then there's the anti-Florida State people in general because they just don't like Florida State. So he's already got a lot of detractors. And you put out a theory or a hypothetical of if the Bucks fail next year and go 5-11. Well, let's be straight here. The defense can't get much worse than it was this year, ranked 32nd in the league. So if they go 5-11, there's a problem with the offense. And I don't think that's going to sit well for Jameis at all. And I don't think it's going to sit well with the boys upstairs because when you make somebody a franchise player and pay him, the going rate for Jameis is eventually going to be $30 million a year by the time he's up for a contract. You don't pay a guy $30 million a year if he's super polarizing to the fan base and make him the face, long-term face of the franchise. If you got all these people against him and he's losing on top of that, it's like, well, why don't we have somebody people like?
It would kill the Glazers to turn on Jameis.
It's not a question of turning. It's not turning, Ira. They're business people first. And if it ever gets to the point, I hope it never does, that Jameis's fifth-year option is up and they got to decide, are we going to pay this guy? Part of the equation is going to be, do our people like him enough to pay him $30 million and do
Steve,
all that?
Steve, I understand everything you're saying, but Lee, they were 100% in on Winston. They were never 100% in on Freeman because he wasn't the first pick in the draft. Nobody expected anything. Winston came, with a lot of expectations. And mm-hmm. why wouldn't you? First pick in the draft, took him over Mariota.
They threw a game to get him.
Threw a game. Never admit it, but threw a game. You're right.
Surely did.
And how'd that work out for Lovey? Not too well, ultimately.
No, I don't think they held that against him at all.
No. But I'm saying how'd it work out? He didn't reap the benefits.
Well, that's his fault.
Yeah, he didn't reap the benefits. He had him for 1 year. Didn't reap them.
Well, Lovey made his own bed with Tennessee ready and the capital collapse.
But, Lee, I'm going to say it again. It would be very, very painful, although I understand Steve's point that it could very well happen. But it would be very painful for the Glazers to ultimately decide we got to move on from Jameis Winston. That'd be a brutal, brutal moment.
I don't know if they would unless Jameis.
He says at some point you got to pay the man.
Well, of course. But, obviously, being businessmen are going to look at the big picture. They're not going to be short-sighted. As a rookie, Jameis had these guys in a wild card chase. Second year, had him in a playoff chase. He had one bad year this year. All of a sudden, you're going to give up on a guy? I think Cutter's the fall guy if Jameis doesn't progress. Tennessee. Mariota's a coach killer. He's gone through 3 coaches in 4 years. Why? Because of his development. So Cutter will be the fall guy. And I hate to say that, but he will be. Real quick, we're talking about coaches. Raheem, with this debacle going on in Indianapolis. I was going to write this. I was going to write this last night, Steve, and I got on Twitter, and this stopped me. Why is McDaniels thought of to be this uber offensive guru when he never had a winning season as a head coach, thought Tim Tebow was a better quarterback, and Raheem, who had a laughable roster with the Bucs, a head case of a quarterback, got 10 wins. Now, granted, the collapse he had his third season, a lot of it is on him. But since he left the Bucks, he's been on coaching staffs that have been on the playoffs, should have been on a Super Bowl winner last year. Not his fault. Not a whimper. Not a whimper. Yeah, Josh McDaniels, that just goes to show, if you can ride the gravy train of a good quarterback, like how many of Aaron Rodgers' offensive coordinators have flamed out as NFL coaches? Same with Belichick. The Belichick tree has not been very good to the NFL. But, hey, you ride that gravy train with Brady and Belichick, you're automatically thought of as the next coming. Whereas Raheem, better resume, I think, than McDaniels, can't get anything.
There seems to be a general lack of respect for Raheem. Part of it is he's never been a coordinator on either side, yet he shows tremendous versatility, flipping from both sides of the ball. One thing that might hurt him, Steve, you know, the Falcons had an unbelievable offense 2 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl. Unstoppable. I mean, they put up 28 on New England, you know, go after three quarters. Unstoppable. And who got the credit? Kyle Shanahan gets the job. Mm-hmm. So even though Raheem played a vital role, you know, with the receivers, and he got a lot out of the Sanus of the world.
Very much so.
Taylor Gabriels?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Shanahan was the front man on that offense. He was rewarded with a chance, with a shot, and boy, he finished strong in San Francisco. So I'm not knocking Kyle Shanahan. He did a fantastic job. But I think Raheem should have his day, Steve, at least in the interview process.
Well, I'm going to throw out there that first I
– And he had one bad year after winning 10 games.
Look at that roster he had. Tell me that was a playoff roster.
I almost think Raheem is not interested. Because, look, everybody knows around the league that Raheem is a good interview. He's always got a lot to say.
Hell of a personality.
Hell of a personality. Yeah. Do you see Raheem doing any shows? Do you see him at the Super Bowl marketing himself out there, putting his name out there? No. Do you see him in the offseason doing an interview? No. So maybe for some reason he doesn't want to be out there. Is his agent out there pitching him, floating his name as a possible candidate? No. Is anybody getting him a story with Peter King or Sports Illustrated how the rare of all rare things happens where a guy is a head coach and a defensive mind and then goes and coaches offense and gets to the Super Bowl?
Why aren't the Colts looking at him right now?
Well, the point is that
they're in disarray.
There you go.
The point is that no one's talking about Raheem, and a lot of that's on Raheem. Why that is, I don't know. Maybe he's waiting. Maybe he feels he'll have one shot back in the mix, and maybe he wants to hit 45 years old and get some more gravitas, as you would say.
Ooh, nice.
I don't know, but something's fishy with that.
Yeah, I just think in retrospect, the more you look at it, what a hell of a job he did that 1 year with the Bucks. Like I said,
and started 4-2 the next season.
Mo Stovall, Styles White, Barrett Rude. I mean, come on. And he got 10 wins with that and a head case of a quarterback.
They quit on him, Steve. They quit on him.
Yeah, they quit on him. Yeah, 10 rookies actually started in 2010, which is stunning. At some point during the season, 10 rookies started. But, yeah, they quit on him in 2011, and he didn't recover. I get why he didn't recover right away, but I'm sure he'll have his day at some point. It'll be interesting to see. But clearly he's driving some of this. Because even if you think about it.
Or is not driving some of this.
Yeah.
He would be an ideal for this team's looking for Rooney Rule candidates. He's a perfect fit. I mean, he's got a great resume and should be. If you're looking for minority head coaching candidates, Raheem should be very high on your list.
And he's the kind of guy who could walk in. He can knock your socks off in an interview.
Yeah, his personality is over the top.
Absolutely. I mean, look, he went to the Redskins and specifically to learn the 3-4 defense. I forget who their coordinator was, but that was his goal there when he went there and worked on their defensive staff. And then he went to Atlanta. So it's been quite a ride for him. I'm sure he'll be back. Ira, all right, look, a couple of things. I know you've got some hall feedback from your people, your rough
Peeps.
Go in Minneapolis with John Lynch. You told me before you had a little nugget on Rondé Barber. I have no clue. What is it?
Well, guys, I don't think we're the only ones that were bitterly disappointed that in his first year of eligibility, Rondé Barber did not make it into the debate room. He didn't make the final list of 15, although he's in the semifinalist with Simeon at 25. Next year in Atlanta, he's got to be pushed into that room. I can't wait. To make the debate on Lynch, and you can't ding Lynch for not having stats, and then you got Rondé Barber. He's a walking statistic.
Yeah.
You know, besides defining the slot receiver position, here's my point, Steve. The Bucks are going to have to get more involved, and I am going to suggest that strongly. Not right now; it's too early. But when the fall comes around and people start voting for the final the semifinalists, and then the cut from 25 to 15, that's crucial. That's the crucial spot. And, you know, Lynch didn't make the final 15 his first year of eligibility. He did not. And then from there, he kept advancing. This year, he regressed, unfortunately. I don't want to read too much into that. He could very well be back in that room next year, and I'd be surprised if he wasn't. But for Rondé's purposes, Lee, for that 1 month, once the semifinalist list is named and then people start voting to chop 25 to 15, other teams get very aggressive. You know, they send out all these flyers. They send out emails to all the voters. People know who the voters are. You know, that's no secret. Mm-hmm. And they usually send it to this guy, Joe Harrigan, from the Hall, and he disperses it to all the selectors.
Oh, okay.
That's the way it works.
So, Ira, you're a voter. How many emails did you get early in the process in the fall?
I'd say about 10. 10 different candidates.
Got okay. it.
10 different candidates. And for Rondé Barber, especially after he didn't make it the first time around, you can't take any chances, you know, because, guys, look at it like this. This is the way you got to look at it. Five people in the final 10. Five. Including four offensive linemen, and I believe the fifth guy was Ty Law. Those five, they're all going to be in the final 15 next year. Then you got Gonzalez, Champ Bailey, and Ed Reed. It's three more. That's eight. Then you got the people that didn't survive the first cut, like Lynch, Edgerrin James, Isaac Bruce. They're likely to be back in the room. That's 11. Mm-hmm. That means there's probably going to be about four open spots for new guys to come in that weren't on the final 15. Barber's got to get one of those four spots. I think he will. I think he should. But he might need a little help from the organization. So that's my point. I'm going to stress to the Bucks. They got to be a little bit more involved. They don't got to go over the top.
Yes,
they don't
they
have
do.
To call people.
No, they have to go over the
I'm
top.
I'm starting to lean with Steve, yeah.
They need to pay you, Ira, to go have lunch.
Again with paying me?
They need to front you cash to go have lunch with some of these voters and to travel around and schmooze these people. Either you're all in or you're
Wait,
not.
You want a cash payment to Gary Myers from the Daily News? What do you want,
no,
Steve?
No, not to pay these people, but you know what? They can have you go visit some people who are key voters. Come on. This is the Buccaneers, a billion-dollar organization. You're going to get on their ass to send some emails out?
$2 billion.
Put the money in the Sage's pocket. Send the Sage to go chat with the voter in L.A. and in San Diego.
I hear one of them lives in Maui. So, you know, that's how we start. When a Hall of Fame voter visits One Buck Place, which they do on occasion, training camp or whatever, they got to nail that guy right then and there, too. I don't care if it's Brian Glazer. You got to go make your way and go talk to
so
that
So you're
guy.
Saying the next this summer, when Peter King does his drive-by...
Somebody's got to talk to Peter King. No, I've already talked to him.
Well, here's the thing. Peter King gets access that no one that covers the Bucks does. No one. So basically, they're going to say, Peter King, either you vote for John Lynch or Rondé Barber, or you're aced out of the building.
Well, Steve, it's an anonymous vote. There's no accountability. That's another problem. Stephen King could Peter King could say whatever he wants. Speaking of horror writers, Peter King, Steve can say whatever he wants to the Glazers, and there's no way to check him about what happens in that room.
Well, what's that dog's name? Juno or whatever? Juco or...
you mean that rapid dog,
yeah.
That killer dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cujo.
Cujo.
Yeah.
So Peter King.
Peter Cujo King.
Ira, you will be hanging out with Rondé soon. I believe you guys are playing golf. Soon, here's what you need to tell Rondé Barber, okay? I'm going to give you some advice. This is what you need to tell Rondé Barber. You need to say, Rondé, if you want to make the final 15 next year, you need to have your ass, your personal ass, at the NFL owners' meetings for a full day and shake hands with at least half of those writers, because that will get you where you need to
go. And the meeting's right there in Orlando.
And it's in Orlando. Drive over there. Stay over. Schmooze. I'll introduce you to some people.
Go to the party.
If he doesn't go, he ain't serious. That's just the bottom line. Show up, Rondé.
Bring your wife.
Play the game. Do what you got to do.
Let her schmooze, too. That's more important than Barber showing up.
Look at the smile on Ira's face when he says, bring
Claudia,
my wife.
Claudia, you got to go to the party.
All right. Ira, your podcast, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com.
Sales continue.
The sales continue. The offers. Check out the websites as you listen to the podcast. Do it right now. As we head over to Malcolm Butler, Ira, we've already talked about this, but now you seem to have some sort of new information or new things you
I'm
need to express.
I'm going to reiterate this point. I'm not sure how much we made this on the podcast the other day. Lee, I'm going to ask you directly. Directly. If you're Jason Light and you're looking into Malcolm Butler, which you should, because he's an upgrade in talent without question, unequivocal. But we know what happened in terms of character last year with the locker room. There were a couple of mistakes made, and they had repercussions in that locker room. Is that why the Bucks were 5-11? No, but it didn't help.
Exactly.
Didn't help. Lee, you got to get to the bottom of the Malcolm Butler affair. Now, you're tight with Belichick. You're very tight with Belichick. You still got people in New England from the days you worked there. You got to get to the bottom of it.
I know he's tight with Kraft.
Kraft? The Glazers are tight with Kraft? If Light tells the Glazers, hey, we're going to make a bid on Malcolm Butler. We're going to target Malcolm Butler. The Glazers need to call Kraft. They got to get to the bottom of it. It's not like people in the Patriot organization don't know why Belichick benched him.
They know.
Robert Kraft knows. Patriots won't play the Bucks for another 3 years. He's friends with the Glazers. He'll give them all the dirt.
And Malcolm Butler knows. He's trying to claim he's totally innocent. Nobody's buying that. Maybe you didn't do X, X, and X that is being speculated. And by the way, that speculation, that's not fair to Malcolm Butler.
Well, he basically said that, hasn't he? He's gone out and said, you know, he's tired of Belichick ruining his name.
To say he was shocked and he has no earthly idea why he was benched, nobody's buying that, Steve.
Why not? Happens all the time. How many guys played under John Gruden had no idea why he was pissed off at him in the doghouse?
Pissed off at him and benching him for a Super Bowl are two different things. The guy played 98% of the snaps. Nobody's buying any nonsense about he couldn't cover Alshon Jeffery.
Well,
he didn't cover tall receivers in October?
Well, the big question, for lack of a better term, is if Belichick, arguably the brightest mind that ever coached NFL, figured that Malcolm Butler wasn't good enough to play, why was he inactive? Why wasn't he inactive? What are you wasting a roster spot for?
Maybe because of an emergency. You needed a body. Steve, two words. Something happened.
I know
something happened.
I'm not interested in Malcolm Butler until I know what happened.
Well, Steve and I went back and forth with a fan on Twitter, and basically a fan saying what you said. Well, why do the Bucks want him? There's obviously something wrong. He didn't play in the Super Bowl. I said, okay. You know, if this guy's a cancer like you claim he is, how come he didn't ruin the Patriots? Patriots were what, two plays away from a Super Bowl? Number two.
Could be weed. Could be weed. That's, could be a weed problem.
Well, here's
could
my
be.
Here's my part B of my answer. Would you take a Pro Bowler who was benched over a guy who cannot cover, and that guy's name's Ryan Smith? Give me Malcolm Butler.
I understand that, but I'm not giving Malcolm Butler $10 million if he's going to be a problem.
Okay, let's just pretend.
I don't need another Tanard Jackson on my hands. That's all I'm saying.
That's a very good point.
Steve?
Sure.
If that's the case, won't it come out? If he tested positive, what you're insinuating, won't that come out?
Well, the players.
In a suspension?
The players, if.
And I give Belichick credit for not saying a word about it.
Oh, that's baloney.
No, it ain't baloney.
It is baloney. You're destroying the guy. Just come out and say what it is.
Then you're destroying the guy.
How?
Let the teams do their own
research. Speculation's worse than the truth.
Yeah, spit the truth out. That's
Belichick
it.
Belichick owes you nothing, especially you, Steve.
I'm sitting here beating a drum for the Bucks to trade for Aqib Talib. He's been suspended for inappropriate use of, I can't think of the exact term, PEDs.
But that's a while back, and he's been clean
he's
since.
He's been clean since, but that's still there.
But he's still a knucklehead in other respects.
Absolute knucklehead, but he can play.
All right, you're driving me nuts with this Malcolm Butler stuff. Okay, so suppose they found him smoking pot before the game. Who cares? I mean, half the league smokes pot, so let's just get that out there. And the players would admit that off the record, left and right. And they don't get tested until August, unless they're in the program. And so he was eligible for the game, so what do they care? He's a free agent. They were never going to re-sign him. Let the guy play. The Patriots fans are the ones who are pissed, and they're pissed at Belichick for not saying why. Don't you think you owe it to the fans to say why one of the key players on the teams didn't play?
I'm going to go from two words, Mr. DeKemper, to four words. Something happened to Tanard Jackson. I'm out, baby. I'm out.
How many times has LeGarrette Blount been popped with a blunt?
He ain't making $10 million.
How many rings
do
you have?
Hey, Belichick's the guy who signed Albert Haynesworth, and then he was so bad. But he still got Mark Dominic to take
him off
the
chance. You think Butler doesn't want to be paid, Steve? Does he want to be paid?
He'll be paid. All right, lastly, Ira, as we
There's
wrap
another,
up.
Another subject?
All right, then we'll get out of here. Go do your thing. Have some fun.